This is Brian Anderson, the editor of City Journal, and I'm talking with Andrew Klavan about his new story, Romanticon, a fascinating discussion of the intellectual trajectory of William Wordsworth, one of the greatest of the British Romantic poets. The essay appears in our summer 2009 issue. Andrew Klavan is a best-selling novelist whose latest books are The Last Thing I Remember and Empire of Lies, as well as a contributing editor of City Journal and a regular presence on Pajamas Media and in the pages of the LA Times and the Wall Street Journal. Drew, great to see you.
It's good to be here.
Wordsworth was not only a great British Romantic poet, your piece argues, but also a great defender of the Western tradition against radicalism. Indeed, you call him an early neoconservative. But surely the Wordsworth people are most familiar with is the guy who celebrated being alive during the French Revolution and to be young during the Revolution, heaven itself. You've got a bit of a different take in this piece, so perhaps you could explain your basic take on Wordsworth.
Well, part of the problem is that Wordsworth, as a poet, did sort of peter out in later years, as he himself would have said. He had an intense connection to nature as a young man, and that was really the source of his poetic genius. And as that withered away, so did some of his genius. His later poetry is just not as good as his earliest poetry. However, the real feature of him as a poet is that he's a poet of becoming, and he wrote beautifully about the process of becoming and maturing and finding your spiritual way. And having done that, what he became was a political conservative after his youthful radicalism. And his great poem, which is the long poem, which is now called The Prelude, which is his biographical poem, charts his journey from political radicalism, that bliss that he felt at the French Revolution, to becoming a conservative, and his understanding of it in the deepest possible philosophical terms.
The failure of the French Revolution was for him, or the excesses of the French Revolution, was the key transitional moment, right? So it was, in a way, not unlike the failure of Marxism was for many modern radicals, some of whom, like Wordsworth, moved in a more conservative direction. Perhaps you could say a bit about what his reaction to the French Revolution eventually was.
Well, I make the argument in the piece that it was very similar in some ways to our experience of the 60s as being this great burgeoning period of hope and change, and everything was going to be better, and all the old sinful ways of mankind were going to be wiped off the face of the earth for the age of Aquarius. That was very much the feeling in England when the French Revolution hit, and Wordsworth wrote famously, bliss was it in that dawn to be alive, but to be young was very heaven. And he went to France, and he participated at some level, some of the intrigues. He had an affair with a French woman and had a child by her. And when he came back to England, he was on fire with the idea of liberty, égalité, and fraternité. And when he saw the terror, and especially when he saw the ascension of Napoleon to becoming, you know, just a new king, a new emperor, he was not only disgusted with the political progress, he was bereft of his philosophy. A lot of times people talk about the Romantics as having a reaction against reason, but Wordsworth certainly didn't want to have a reaction against reason. What he saw was the failure of pure reason as a political philosophy. And so when he reached that stage, unlike those who kept clinging to the idea that the French were going to change the world, he changed his mind, and he started, out of a deep depression, he started to explore what had gone wrong and what were the answers.
Could you say a bit more about your conception of Romanticism as you develop it in the piece? It is true that the Romantic tradition is often portrayed as a revolt against reason, as celebrating the irrational. But the truth, I think, is more nuanced and more complex. Richard Holmes has this new book, The Age of Wonder,
yes,
on the Romantic engagement with the pursuit of science. In your view, what is, if you could elaborate a little bit more, Romanticism's relationship to reason? What is the romantic conception of reason as you understand it?
Well, I think the mistake that people make in looking at the Romantics, and Jacques Barzan makes this point wonderfully, it's not that they all were saying the same thing about reason. It's that they're all trying to solve the same problem, which was that the old world had been wiped away by Newton, by science, by philosophy, by natural philosophy. What was going to come in its place? And they all had different answers. And so Wordsworth was not at all a sort of Victorian cult of feeling guy. He was someone who asked himself, what are we going to replace this pure reason with? And he came up with this very complex concept of the imagination, which is really a very beautiful reinvention of the idea of the soul in quite scientific and natural terms. And I think with that, he really did lay a central brick in the foundation of the rebuilding of Western civilization.
Well, let's elaborate a little bit more on that, because this is how you end your essay with this discussion of the Wordsworthian notion of the human imagination. I take it from your piece and from talking with you that you do view this as something that's potentially valuable today for us to learn from. So could you say a bit more about this idea of the imagination and what kind of a role it could play?
Yeah, I think it's central to our understanding of who we are today. And I think it's that Wordsworth actually solved this problem or made a beginning in solving the problem. What he discovered or posed was the idea of man as a sort of co-creator with God. The imagination was a combination of all our faculties, not just feeling, but also reason and also perception, which when informed by love and by our connection with nature, actually created a part of nature. And it actually not only took the creation, what was already there, but it refashioned it into human terms, in terms of love, in terms of joy and beauty and experience, and that these were valid things. These were not to be thrown away for pure reason. The ideas of beauty, the idea of the spirit, the idea of joy and love, these things were not to be reasoned away. And they were valuable, they were human, and they were the foundation of human life. And I put forward the idea that this notion really anticipated a lot of what we've discovered since about quantum mechanics, about the way in which human perception actually defines reality. It's not a relativist point of view at all. It's not that reality can be anything we feel it to be. It's that there is a certain process that goes on when reality passes through the human mind. It comes out changed and new and different. And I think that that is what we try to defend when we defend the idea of individual liberty and the free market of ideas. We're trying to defend each imagination and the interplay of imaginations with each other.
The later Wordsworth, the conservative Wordsworth, you mentioned earlier that his genius had waned to some degree from a literary standpoint, but were there particular works or writings of the later period that you think are well worth reading at this time?
Well, I think some of his poems that are just dismissed, like his poems about the church and tribute to the church, are really quite beautiful. I have to say, I think his later work is overly dismissed because of his conservatism. Mm-hmm. And his conservatism at one point did become rather stiff and stodgy, though later he broke through that to another plane. But certainly The Prelude, which he worked on all his life and was unpublished at his death, it was published by his wife, called The Poem to Coleridge. And that he was reworking all the time. And some of the things that he added as a conservative and some of the ways he reshaped it as a conservative are quite beautiful, including his tribute to Edmund Burke, which discusses what it was about tradition and theory that would simply not stand up against the human need for freedom.
Thanks very much, Drew. To read Andrew Klavan's essay, Romanticon, on William Wordsworth, visit our website, www.city-journal.org. You'll find that essay there and much more by Andrew Klavan. Thanks very much, Drew.
A pleasure.